Welcome to the Redacted Apostate, where we talk all things cult and current events concerning cults. My name is Nicole.
And I'm Carl.
Welcome. Don't really have an agenda today other than just some random thoughts. We did record a podcast that got lost, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's probably our best podcast ever. And yeah. It got lost to technical malfunctions. Yep. That was caused by me.
Pretty sad.
Yeah.
Pretty sad. But this one is more of just kind of some stuff that has come up into my brain in the last couple of weeks. I've been listening a lot to a YouTuber podcaster. His name is Andrew Bustamante, and he is a former spy, like a legit operations spy. Right. And I find him very interesting because he talks a lot about mind control. We have a cat sitting in the middle of the table.
Literally between our eyesight. So
will not move.
Yes. Actually, I think he's doing this on purpose.
On purpose. And now he's staring at me. All right. So this individual, he does podcasts. He has his own business, but I honestly don't know what his business is. Maybe it's consulting. Who knows what it is? Anyway, he talks about the CAI training that they do on the farm and then the CAI operations that they go on.
Right.
And he left the CAI some time ago and is now...
I'm assuming you mean the CIA?
CIA.
Yeah.
That's what I said. Did I say that? No.
He said the other thing.
Oh, I have to edit that out. So he left the CIA several years ago and is now working on whatever this business is. I don't know what it is.
Right.
He's just on a ton of podcasts. And what I find interesting about him, where I learn the most, is how mind control works and how you can use it to your favor. And then I apply it to undoing some of the cult brainwashing that I still work with today.
Right.
And one of the things that has come up, and we talked about this in the last podcast, about not trusting your gut. I told this to one of my staff the other day. I said, if I trusted my gut, I would be in a ditch on drugs. Like trusting my gut.
Well, there's still time.
Yeah. Is not good advice. Not good advice for someone who's raised in a cult. Because your instincts are not really right. And I never understood where I felt, like where that came from until I was listening to this Andrew Bustamante and what he said recently. And I've been listening to him for a few months, but recently I came across this idea that he talks about, which is perspective versus perception.
Right.
And that your brain, he said, and this kind of blew my mind too, your brain is an organ and a muscle.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing in our system that is an organ and a muscle at the same time. So that means an organ is default. You have no control over it. Mm-hmm. You have no control over your organs. But your muscles, you have absolute control over your muscles.
Right.
How much you work them or don't work them. So your brain's in this really weird state of uncontrollable, controllable.
Sort of like the reptile brain versus, you know, the logical, brain.
Yeah. So as I was listening to it, I was thinking there's actually three parts of your brain.
Mm-hmm.
There's that reptile brain,
right?
But then there's the emotion side of your brain, and then there's the logical side of your brain. And most people live their whole lives in that emotional side of their brain and not necessarily in the logical.
They might hit it once or twice, you know.
And when you say trust your gut, that's for the most part is that emotional side that you're basing this information off of. Now it gets even more complex because then it took me down a rabbit hole of, okay, and I'll tell you a story that happened to me. And you know this story, but I'll tell it again. You were away in Alabama and I went to go get gas. And it was a Sunday afternoon at like 2 o'clock and the gas station was full. It took me a while to find an empty pump. and I was pumping my gas, and all of a sudden I got scared. Mm-hmm. And there was no reason for me to be scared. It was a bright, sunny day. It was Sunday.
Affluent area. Semi-affluent area of the town. Yeah.
Yeah. Upper middle class area. Mm-hmm. Crime doesn't really happen, but I got scared.
Yeah.
And then I left the gas station. I had locked the doors as I was getting the gas. I locked the doors.
Right.
Because for some reason I was scared. And then I went grocery shopping. And as I was driving back from grocery shopping, the whole gas station was empty. It was filled with police officers.
Right.
And it was surrounded with police tape. Do not. And at that point, I realized, and I got home, I was like, something horrible happened. Within 10 minutes of the time I was there, mm-hmm. someone was murdered. There was a group of young teenagers that were casing that area looking for a car to steal. They were there. They came across a guy who was traveling from out of town who fought them because he had no way to get home if they stole his car. And they shot and killed him.
Right.
And literally within that time period that I was at that gas station and had that.
They were there.
They were there.
Yeah.
So subconsciously, I saw something that my logical brain could not process.
Right.
At the time. And you have people that are in these fear states and they say, oh, I wish I would have listened to my gut. So it's this weird sense of when you're in this heightened or when you get the feeling of fear, it's because that emotional brain, and so this is another thing he said, that your emotional brain works almost instantaneously, mm-hmm. but your logical brain takes a long time.
Yes.
It can take hours. It can take days.
That's that fight or flight kind of mentality. Is it's all based off of emotion, right? So when you're, you know, about to be stepped on by a woolly mammoth, you know, do I run or do I fight, you know? And it's all based on pure emotion, survive, you know, this is a survival instinct, right? So it has to be lightning quick and you have to make the decision instantaneously.
But sometimes you don't see, like, you don't process what.
Oh no, you process it later.
Yeah,
you know, but later that night you'd be like, "Oh my God, I can't believe I survived this." And then you start thinking about it, and then you start remembering it, and that's when a lot of people go, "I don't remember A, B, C, and D happening," is because that's a different part of your brain took over,
right?
And that is what instructed you to keep you alive.
Yeah,
you know.
In the gas station situation, I look back, I even saw mm-hmm. the mugshots of the people, saw the car they were driving, and I still don't remember.
And you won't, yeah.
You'll ever never. Seeing mm-hmm. anything. I just remember that sense of fear that I had.
Right.
For whatever reason, whatever my brain processed and said, you're afraid. And there are other women that have been in that situation where they had that sense of fear. They didn't act on it. Mm-hmm. And
Something bad happened. Yeah. Exactly.
So
I do have a question though, because this could also be some semantics, but I don't think it is. You're talking about trusting your gut, but I think there's two different ways of dealing with it. One is listening to your gut and trusting your gut, because I can listen to someone and not trust them. I can still use that logical side of my brain that's listening to things that are going on. And then making a decision based on what my emotional side as well as my logical side. And I think that's when we make the best decisions, right? But if I just trust my gut, which is whatever gut tells me is what I'm going to do,
right?
It can work out, but can also go really badly too. I think it's more we should listen to our gut, but not take it at face value. Right? Like in your situation, you were like looking around, you were scared, and there was nothing going on in your logical brain that could tell you the reason why you were scared.
Right.
Right? So in that situation, the easy thing to do is, okay, my gut's telling me something, I'm just going to go with it because there's no downside here, right? In other words, if I stay, something bad could happen. But if I leave, it's not like I'm leaving, you know, the gas station and I have to stay at the gas station for something and I'm missing out on something, right? So in those kind of circumstances, like you walk down that dark alley and you get, you know, the bad gut in your, you know, the bad feeling in your gut, you can turn around and leave the alleyway because it doesn't affect you not going down an alleyway. It's right. Just like it didn't affect you by leaving the gas station as soon as possible, right? Those are the easy decisions to make in your life. It's the harder decisions. And it could even be the same for high control groups. You get that gut. What's the worst that's going to happen to you if you just leave?
A lot. That's the thing.
No, but I'm talking about getting into it. Like if you're not fully in yet, is what I mean. I know you're talking about leaving, but I'm talking about like when you first come across someone that is feeding you the lines and you just have this weird feeling in your gut, but people stay, you know?
Yeah, because they ignore those, as that TikToker said, the United Nations of red flags.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Right. Right.
They just ignore them and you rationalize them away.
Yeah. But you got to just think to yourself, like, what's the worst thing that happens if I walk away at that point?
At that point. It's nothing.
But, yeah. Yeah.
You know, in my case, you lose literally everything.
Yeah. But you were way past that.
Yeah.
I mean, you had a whole childhood event into that. So different scenarios.
Completely different.
I'm just thinking about like when you're talking about listening or trusting your gut, going into a situation from the beginning, you know, like what's the worst? That's the question I ask myself. Like, what's the worst thing that happens if I just trust my gut right now and just leave? Well, then you just leave, you know, and you'll never know if your gut was right or not. But if the stakes are low, just you can trust your gut. If the stakes are high, it's a lot harder.
Yeah, So we talked about this in the last podcast that you really have to, when you're trying to think independently, you have to look at all sides and you have to use that non-emotional, rational brain. You have to use that side of the brain. If you don't, you'll end up into that drug addicted cycle. And it's so important to learn. And I think that's why I find this individual very interesting, because the CIA has done so much research into human, I don't know what the word is, but mind control. I mean,
I call it human conditioning, right?
Conditioning, yeah. Exactly. What it is that's important to us. And so here you have this YouTuber that is very open about how the CIA, I can know.
It's okay.
I got to keep calling it something else. How they operate and what they do and their ways of controlling, because it is very similar to being in a high control group. But if you can flip it, if you can flip the script and use it to your benefit,
right?
You can say, I was raised in this high control group. I do not listen to my gut. I don't. Mm-hmm. I listen to my logical side of my brain. And I've always, for the most part, done that. I was never able to put that into words.
Right.
Never able to understand why I did that. It was more survival, because my mother was always emotional. She was told what to do.
And I feel that this is the right thing, so this is what we're going to do.
Right. Yeah. She would make her decisions literally by... she would wad up a piece of paper and she'd be like, okay, I'll do this thing if I make this basket into the trash bin. I'll do this thing. That's how she would make her decisions.
Wow.
She quit her job when I was 14 just because
I do that when I pick random numbers.
Yeah.
And I think that's the extent of it.
Yeah. Yeah. She was unable to make any decisions. So from an early age, I had to make decisions for her when the church didn't. And I think at that point, and then when I left, how I left very emotionally. So that was one decision I made based on my emotional brain, because I had reached the point where I couldn't. The pain of staying was much greater than the pain of leaving.
Right.
And I was like, I have to deal with this pain by leaving.
Rip the Band-Aid off kind of thing, yeah.
But once I left, everything I did was based on logic. Every decision I made, every choice I made for a career was based on logic.
Right.
I don't think I ever made a career decision that was not based on where will this get me, or like putting it on paper, logically thinking about it, mm-hmm. or taking advantage of an opportunity that came across.
Right.
Someone said, hey, we're starting a company, why don't you come join us? And I, you know, taking advantage of that.
What's in it for me? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Instead of, well, that sounds fun, or, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess that's the thing too, is that I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just, I guess, looking for input on it. Is that, would your extreme use of logic be an emotional response to a situation?
I don't think so. I think, again, the way that our brain is divided into that reptilian brain of just survival, mm-hmm. and that emotional brain, and then the logical brain. I think they're two very distinct things. I think most people live fully in their emotions, and most men do. I work with mostly men, and most
you take
of
that
them,
back, or I'm going to cry right
yeah,
now.
Exactly. they live in that emotion of anger and frustration,
which
and,
they equate to logic. See, right. That's the interesting thing too, is that logical thinking is it's difficult to pinpoint, right? Because we think logic is just you act like Spock, but that's not how it works.
No,
you know, Spock was unhuman logic, right? Almost computer logic, right? And that is not how human logic in my mind works, right? It's you're looking at all aspects in a non-emotional matter doesn't make you a robot, or you know,
and
lacking emotions, you know,
allows you. So I think really the whole idea is when you're faced with a decision, mm-hmm. stepping back and allowing your brain to process, mm-hmm. and asking questions, thinking about the questions to ask. So recently I was telling this to another staff member. I was asked to join a mentorship program, my employment, and emotionally ego-based, I just said yes. And
because I'm a mentor.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at me.
I'm a mentor. And I didn't, and that was a decision I made fully based on ego and emotion.
Yeah.
If I would have stepped back and said, give me time to think about this, I would have said no.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I just responded, yeah, sure, you know, it'd be great. Instead of asking questions, just a very simple work thing. What's my level of effort?
Right.
Who am I going to be mentoring?
And how often?
Yeah, exactly. How many hours a week does this require of me? And then then it was after hours meetings. How many after hours meetings are required of me?
Yeah.
And
because this takes away Rick and Morty time, then to know.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a very classic example of
leading by emotions.
Leading by emotions. Mm-hmm. Instead of letting my brain process, take time to process.
Right. And that one is a very low stakes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's extremely low stakes. But it's important because it's that line of thinking, right, where you start down an emotional path. So let's do a counter argument, because I don't want to speak for you for this, but you stopped doing it because it was annoying. And
no, I'm still there. I still.
Oh, I thought you.
No,
I thought you dropped out of it.
No, I couldn't drop out.
Oh God.
Okay. It would have been shame. I would have been shamed.
Shamed. That didn't even work for you.
Seriously, Lannister. You'd have been judged. Shamed. Yeah. I'd have been judged. So
Yeah. Yeah. So like, but, it's low stakes, and it's something that, if this turned out to be something extremely positive, right, then it's a feedback loop of, I made an emotional decision with a positive outcome, right? So the next decision that comes around, you're just going to say yes, because the first one worked out really well. And I think that's that kind of that loop that starts to occur. And people go, oh, I'm so happy doing this. This is such a great thing. This is really great. I can't wait to do this again. I can't wait to do the next thing again. And then you're just saying yes to every kind of thing that comes up because, you know, you're not logically thinking about it anymore because the first time was so much fun, you know? Yeah. And that's the real thing is it's okay to do that kind of stuff as long as you give it thought.
Right.
You know?
And I should have, like, in that instance, I should have let my logical brain at least ask a question to know what I was getting into. Right. I didn't even.
Like, what is this?
Exactly. Exactly. What?
That's a good question.
What?
I think we forget our who, what, when, where, and whys.
Yeah.
You know? And it's so funny because I consider myself more emotional than you.
Yeah.
You know? But any time that I would be asked something at work, I would always ask those questions. And they would always kind of look at me like I was emotional for asking those questions.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm just not accepting it. I'm having feelings towards it.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, no. Well, yes, first of all, let me just say that emotionally, I don't want to do this. So my first reaction is I don't want to do it, but I want to find out all the information first. So I ask questions and they're just like, you can see it in people's eyes that they are just so upset that you are asking basic logical questions about something and that it's almost taking up their time, that they are getting emotional.
Yeah, you're just supposed to say yes and move on.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But any time that I get asked something, I want to know the details because I've been asked to do things where I say yes and it fails because I don't get all the information,
mm-hmm.
you know? And well, I come from an IT background. IT is about those questions. If you're not getting those questions answered, you can't do it. And 90% of the time, I wouldn't get those answers because it, you know, they just want to get it done and they don't want to have to deal with it. So I was asking those questions, and I didn't even realize it until now, you know, that I would ask questions, and I always thought it was just because I was emotional, you know, like my emotions were like, no, I actually was wanting to know the information before I just agreed to whatever, because I've been burned so many times.
Yeah. So your feedback loop is negative. When you react on emotions, yeah. You would have negative consequences.
Almost every time. Yeah.
So your brain learned to step back and try and face things logically.
Try.
Yeah.
Try. And I'm fully going to admit that I'm still a highly logical based creature. I'm probably 50% emotion, 20% lizard, and 10% logic. And because I don't have good logic, I can't even do the math right.
And then there's part of the brain that just is like not even.
5% amoeba.
Yeah. 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 I couldn't even quantify what part of my brain. There are some things that really get my emotion. And I think it's when people ask me for help or ask me to be a mentor that just kind of gets me.
Well, you've always said this, and I agree, you know, being a third party observer is that like the thing that gets you emotional is when humans do good work.
Right.
Right. Or exceptional humans doing things, you know, it doesn't matter even if it's sports, which we both don't really have an interest in. But if we watch someone that's in sports doing something exceptional, it's emotional.
Yeah,
it's
like the young woman from Iowa State.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. She's insane. Don't remember her name because it's sports, so my brain just shuts off, but she's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and I hope to see more of her going forward.
Yeah.
You know, that's where your emotion in a good way, can facilitate decisions, right? Like you getting happy because you're seeing a human doing exceptional things. It's pure emotion, has like no logic to it whatsoever. Because if you logically thought about it, it's like, well, cool. People do great stuff every single day. What's the big deal? Right. You know, I mean, you could be jaded logical about it. But emotionally, it's a nice emotion to have. It's a positive emotion to have. So those are good to be nurtured and good to follow your heart with. And, you know, and I get teared up watching stupid stuff on TV all the time. It has no logical reason whatsoever, but I'm over there crying.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think this is different than feeling emotions. It's more from the CIA guy. Mm-hmm. It's more about brain conditioning and programming.
Emotional response to stimuli.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Not emotional responses to something.
Yeah.
Not like a stimuli, but you know what I mean? Like
he's not.
Yeah.
From, and I don't know the dude. All I know is what his podcast says and how I apply what.
Under the way you talk your friends, you know. Yeah.
Friends with some.
Dude. Ex-CIA.
Yeah, we're friends. but I feel like he's not saying don't feel emotions. Mm-hmm. It's understand the difference. Understand. And I think it really helped me realize how I've been able to be successful mm-hmm. after being raised in a cult. And having so many barriers, because not just barriers from cult mind conditioning, but economic barriers. Mm-hmm. I'm Hispanic, so.
Really?
I am. Yeah, I'm telling you that. So racial barriers. Mm-hmm. I'm in tech. I have a vagina also.
Oh my God. It's awesome.
So I have all these barriers that are in my place, but I've never really seen those as barriers.
Right.
They're just part of who I am and my life story. And I'm successful. Mm-hmm. Really. I mean, I'm not a millionaire. I mean, we live in a nice house in a nice neighborhood.
We are doing fine.
Yeah. We're middle class. We feed our kids organic food. We're fine.
You so I think that's a measure of nice of being nice.
We just ordered a box of oranges from California.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we did do that.
Yeah. So, you know, we're fine. All indicators in our society
yes.
would say that I would be in a ditch, drunk or high or somewhere else.
Well, you know, from my limited viewpoint of ex-cult members that leave, you're the like top 1%, because all the other ones I've seen, they're messed up.
And I'm messed up. Most definitely I'm messed up.
Yeah, but not, I'm talking about just in general. Like
that's my secret life. I hide that shit.
You don't. You might think you do, but you don't. No, we're all messed up though. I mean, honestly.
Oh, totally.
Honestly.
Totally.
I mean, that's the reason why we're together is because
it's the human condition. Everybody is messed up.
My crazy, you know, matches your crazy. So.
Yeah, exactly.
But what I'm more referring to is that you've never let your messed up interfere with your life.
And I think listening to him, it's because I have always, from a young age, used my rational, logical side of the brain.
Right. Because you've had to.
I had to.
Yeah.
I had to. It was survival. It was surviving. And I used to say this, even when I was in the cult, to my mom, like, I would never have chosen this life for myself. I never would have chosen it.
Right.
I never would have gone that route. And I even told her this, like, and I said it in this way of being thankful to her. I'm so thankful that you raised me in this religion, because I never would have chosen it. Because I even knew myself back then. I never would have chosen that life. I never would have chosen these people. Yeah. They're fucking crazy lunatics.
Right.
And I thanked her for her choosing that so that I would be raised that way. And so I had to always pretend.
Yeah.
Pretend that I accepted this crazy religion. And I think that's what saved me in being able to be successful when I got out.
Right.
I mean, I always took advantage of being in lucky situations, and I worked really hard, and I've worked really, really hard in all of my careers, and I've always taken advantage of any opportunity that's come my way. So I think listening to that, it helped me put into perspective why I was successful. So I think if anyone listens to this and they want to be successful in life, and they want to break through those horrible barriers that every one of us have.
Right.
Some have more than others. And it's by using the logical brain to make decisions.
Do you think that utilizing the logical side of your brain as much as you have, it's kind of hurt the emotional side?
Probably. I feel like I had to cut that part off early on in life, being emotional, because
almost like a death sentence.
Yeah,
being emotional.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you were emotional, other than, you know, when the high
leader, emotional to God.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Yes,
when the high leader dies, and then you can show your sorrow. Yeah, yeah.
Jesus Christ. And I'm only saying that not the way you did it, but because I can 100% believe that that's how it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's really kind of where I lack in myself, is that sometimes I'll make decisions emotionally, like being a mentor, based on ego and emotional flattery, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But that part is really, I'm not as connected to my emotions as you are. You're way more connected to your emotions. And so, yeah, I think you're right.
And it's the same. I mean, you know, I've always made the comment that between the two of us, we make a whole person.
Right.
You know?
And then we throw in some kids in there and it's...
Yeah. And then it's just chaos. You right. know, it's, you know,
and then you throw autism in there and you're just done.
Again, and then you triple it and then you quadruple it, you know? So... You know, it's just, yeah, yeah. But where one of the things that I've always appreciated is the fact that we utilize each other for sanity checks, like making decisions or pulling the trigger on something, even small, you know, especially in the larger stuff. You know, we always, does this make sense? Because when you're in that state, you don't know sometimes which part of the brain you're coming from. You hope that, okay, I'm going to do this and it is totally logical. But then afterwards you go, oh God, that was just a pure emotional thing that right. I was doing. You know, but I could come to you and say, does this make sense? And you're like, no, it does not make sense that you're doing this at all. And it's like, okay, all right. And then I get angry because, you know, it's my emotion that took over and now I'm getting my emotion squashed, you know. But then I deal with it and it's like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. But I didn't make the bad decision, you know. So in hindsight, it's like, okay, God, good. I'm glad. Yeah, that pissed me off in the moment, but I didn't go through worse emotion by proceeding down this line.
Right.
You know.
And that's one thing he said is that the vast majority of humans are trapped in that emotional cycle, that emotional thinking, and they can't get out of it.
Yeah.
But if your brain is a muscle,
you can work on it.
You can work on it.
Yeah, exactly.
You can make a difference. And that is the one thing when you're leaving a cult that will benefit you the most in life, using your rational brain. Yeah. Because that if you use that rational brain, then you can rationalize why being in a cult is wrong. You can think your way out of it.
That's true. That's true. Now, I do have a question for you, because this is, I think, the kind of the nub of it is, how do you know? Because, and this is where I think it's important to find someone that is not in your circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And this is where it gets really, really touchy, because when you are dealing with, let's say, relatives of cult members, they're like, we've been telling you that this is a cult and that you should leave. So you have the logical voice being told to the person ad nauseum, and they still overrule it with the emotional side.
Right.
And for the person that's in the cult, that emotional side is so strong that it's overriding. And, you know, I've kind of coined that term for myself, that it's easy to emotion logic, but it's almost impossible to logic emotion.
Right.
So if you are feeling something emotion, your logical side, and again, I understand the muscle part, but it's that beginning. Like, it's like trying to do push-ups or trying to do pull-ups, right?
It's hard.
It's hard.
It's hard.
And where do you start? If you can't do one pull-up, how do you build your muscles up to do pull-ups? You know what I mean? It's just like, I'm not expecting an answer, because I don't think there is truly an answer. But I think that if you feel that you could be in a high control group, is get other people's logical answer based on your circumstance.
Right. So most of the high control groups tell you not to read or look at external information.
Don't use your logic.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't do that. So if you don't want to disobey the rules, mm-hmm. but a way to get around that rule is to look at other people. So say you are raised a Mormon,
mm-hmm.
and you're told you're not supposed to look. This is the Mormon. There's a lot of anti-Mormon podcasts and stuff like that. And that's all apostate information for mm-hmm. them. So what you want to do is you want to look at maybe ex-Moonies.
Mm.
Look at the Moonies.
Yep.
Look at the Jehovah's Witnesses. Look at other groups and see how those people...
Or someone that doesn't live in Utah.
Yeah.
You know, just talk to an individual that isn't in the Mormon church.
Yeah. Look at other people. And then you're not breaking the rules as stated mm-hmm. to yourself.
Right.
And what's so funny is, in part of the cult that this happened a while ago, so it's not really current events, but there's the cult that turned people trans, the love cult.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Twin Flames, mm-hmm. the Twin Flames cult. And that Twin Flames cult leader told his followers to write essays on the Nexium cult to prove that he wasn't a cult. And I was thinking, that's probably the best way for those people to realize that they were in a high control situation.
Yeah.
By him doing that, probably caused more people to leave, because that's really what you want to do. You don't want to disobey the rules, but that's a way to circumvent the rules.
Yeah.
And then that's the first step.
Yeah. And honestly, if you're in a group or a situation where the first rule is don't read about our situation.
Exactly.
You're in a cult.
You're in a cult.
Or a high control group. You know, it's like the you know, it's control 101 is don't talk to people or don't read information.
Don't think for yourself.
Right.
Don't think independently. Think the way we tell you to think. Put on a new personality.
Yeah.
Change your name. Be a different person. Change. Don't be goat-like. Whatever they call it, whatever the words are, it all means the same exact thing.
Yeah.
And so this, I think...
Don't eat pork.
Don't eat pork. Don't. What are some of the other... I mean, I had so many crazy, ridiculous rules. I couldn't drive a two-door car, which is the funniest one.
That was the great, best one. Don't drink coffee.
Don't drink coffee.
Yeah.
Don't drink Coca-Cola.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have sugar.
Don't celebrate your birthday.
I mean, it's just about control. It's not about the rule. It's about the control. If I can tell people you cannot have sex with your husband and they obey you, you are in control.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. It doesn't matter. The rule, and that's the rule in so many organizations. You cannot have sex.
Yeah.
Because we can never be in
the scene. That's like simple. That's an easy one for me. I can't have what? Okay, bye. I'm done.
Yeah. I mean, and that's that when you get people to deny a big part of being human.
Yeah.
They've won.
Yep.
They've apps. And that's why sex is such a big deal in these high control groups. Either have lots of babies, keep or the wife
none,
pregnant,
or
none.
Yeah.
Or no sex.
Or I'm going to tell you who to have sex with, who marry.
Who you can marry, who you can't get married to.
Right.
I mean, my rules for who I could marry and have sex with were like brutal.
Yeah.
So brutal. Yeah. And that was one of the key reasons why I ended up waking up and realizing that I was in a cult was those rules. Because they were not logical. And I even went back to the leaders of the group and said, this is not logical. They had no answer for me.
Of course not.
Like, it doesn't make sense. So
you need to pray more.
Exactly. You need to rely on God. Mm. God will provide for you. Uh-huh. Yeah, sure.
I want God to provide me an orgasm.
Exactly.
Only if he's cut, you know?
Yeah. 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 And then God. So awful. But again, it goes back to not living in that emotional side of your brain.
Yeah.
But not being able to have sex. That's a big deal. So you have to really think about and exercise that logical muscle.
Yeah.
And then the more you exercise that logical muscle, that logical side of your brain, then you can be successful. Then you can be successful in life. And success is not about money or living in a middle class, but it's about
doesn't hurt, but
right. It's about being content with.
Well, I think it's also too is being in control of who you are.
Right.
And notice I didn't say being in control of your destiny or anything like that, because that's tougher. You know, not everybody, you could live your life the best way you could and you still might not be in control of what's going on around you. There's a lot of factors.
And you're like, you're always going to have problems.
Yeah.
We're human.
Yeah.
Things happen.
But I'm just saying in control of who you are. And that's the thing. And you know, what does that look like? I have no idea. I don't know what it looks like for me. But every day I look at it and go, you know, is there an outside source controlling who I am? Like, is there someone telling me I shouldn't drink as much, you know, because I have, you know, 6 bourbons a day, you know? But you know what I mean? Like, I enjoy a drink every so often. And, you know, if it's a problem for me, then I will adjust, right? But as soon as someone starts controlling that, like, and I'm talking about like real control, not just, you know, take it easy. It's the same thing with eating pork and all this other stuff. There's not a health reason around it. You just shouldn't do it because we say so. There's a problem.
Well, that led me down a thought of marketing and how marketing controls us.
Oh, God, yeah.
How the media. And so if we allow the media and marketing to control us, again, then we are living in that emotional side. If you're so easily influenced like IT guys are.
No, we're not.
Yes, you are.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we are.
Then whatever marketing thing happens, you're like, yes, I need to buy the latest Elgato thingy, my body.
Oh, right. Yeah, exactly.
And I have to buy it.
And that was actually, there was a whole conversation about DJI because they release stuff like every month. And it's like, you don't need the new stuff. Just chill.
Yeah.
You know, but going back to the media, you know, let's talk about the news, right? And that's a good test for your logic versus emotional brain.
Right.
Right? Is look at the source of the news that you're getting. Are you going to the opposite side of the news spectrum to look at the news from there? If you're not, then you're probably getting your news from a emotional standpoint.
Exactly. You're not looking at it logically.
Right.
And I would suggest researching the CIA training, really looking at how they train and going down that rabbit hole, because it will help you identify what's going on in your own brain. It really will. And I was surprised. This is all recent for me. finding him, listening to him. Mm-hmm. And he's not always pleasant.
Yeah.
It's not always sunshine and roses. And he's not super liberal or super conservative. So he's not going to echo chamber whatever you want to hear.
Right.
But listening to him has been really interesting for me to figure out what's going on in my own brain. And listening to people that are uncomfortable. A lot of people hate other podcasters because they make them uncomfortable with what they say or whatever. Yeah.
Maybe there's a reason you're uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And that could be emotional.
Exactly.
Reaction.
Exactly. That you're getting. Mm-hmm. Like that. You puff up and you're like, I'm so angry at this podcaster for saying this thing.
Mm-hmm. Which I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're more emotional than I am.
No, I'm not.
Yeah. Your single emotion is crying.
The only emotion I have is I'm either happy or crying, and usually at the same time.
You're happy crying. I'm looking at my notes, some other stuff I had. I love the idea of exercising that muscle. He did recently, I came across this, him talking about perspective versus perception. I don't know if I said that earlier.
You started it, but we didn't go down that route.
We didn't go down that route. And the perception, everyone says perception is reality, but that's not really true. I always hear that all the time. Perception is
interesting
reality.
Because I thought the definition of perception was
not reality.
Is not reality. Yeah,
exactly.
That's how you perceive the world around you.
Yeah. Which can be the opposite of reality. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. But one of the things he was explaining was how to perceive the world and look at how other people are viewing the world.
Yes.
And that's really powerful. And that's another thing that can help you if you're leaving a cult also, is because the cult I was raised in, perception was absolutely everything.
Yes.
So there were child molesters everywhere.
But as long as they looked like they were good husbands, that's all that mattered.
That was all that mattered.
Yep.
And nothing happened to them. And so they stayed in the church, even though they had been molesting children for decades.
Yeah.
But as long as the perception was good, nothing ever happened to them. The authorities were never called, that kind of thing. I mean, and this is common in all high control groups.
Yes.
And so perception was so important, how others perceived you, but not really how it really was.
Right.
So when leaving a cult, that still kind of sticks with me. And that's something that I need to work on as a muscle, is not focusing on how people perceive me, but how I perspect other people. Mm-hmm. How I can look at it from your perspective and try and figure out what's your emotions.
And really what we're talking about is empathy, you know, not emotional empathy.
Like logical empathy. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's you putting your mind into how other people perceive the world.
Right.
And if they're perceiving it in an emotional manner, then that is empathy, you know?
I think the next step is, okay, well, how can I use that
against someone? Yeah.
How can I use it to get a sale?
Yeah.
How can I use it to make my customer happy?
The best salespeople that I've ever met, they always say the same thing, is you never say what a customer wants to hear. You understand what a customer wants. Mm-hmm. And that is completely different, right? If you're just mimicking or parroting, that doesn't get you the sale.
No.
Right? But what does is understanding their needs and then finding a solution to fulfill that need.
And that can happen with your kids, with your partner. And so that's another thing that I'm kind of exploring. This is all new to me to think about. So I've been thinking about that a lot. But mostly I've been thinking about the not trusting your gut, like really focusing on
listening to it, but not trusting it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
Making decisions based on logic, making decisions based on facts, mm-hmm. that I provable facts. That's what I'm working on currently.
Right.
Even though I already do it, this helped me kind of quantify it and really work on it more, especially in my professional life. I think in my personal life, I feel more logical than I am in my professional life, which is interesting. I feel more emotional in my professional life.
I can see that.
Yeah. So I it's a muscle that I'm starting to work in my professional life, how to make myself more logical based and less living in my emotions, because I get emotionally upset very easily from workmates. And so how can I prevent that?
Right. And that goes, and I think that stems back to you not wanting to look foolish,
mm-hmm.
or having the ability to be judged negatively by others.
Right.
So if there is the perception that you have failed in your mind, then it triggers an emotional response against that.
That goes back to my cult upbringing.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. So. Because you might have lived logically, but you lived under extreme perception control.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if your perception falters, then that would trigger an emotional response because it was so tied to identity,
mm-hmm.
that it still reigns, you know, it still holds true today, is that, you know, I'm perceived as being something bad or failing. So it doesn't allow the logic to step in at that point. It's pure emotion.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I don't think I've ever equated my upbringing to my professional life. And so that's something I need to think about more deeply, because that's how this podcast started, is mm-hmm. I want to take my life experiences to help other people who are on that path.
Right.
And part of that path is having a career that you can trust, a career that you're doing well at.
That you can grow with.
That you can grow with.
Right.
And if you're trapped like I am, and I completely know this, after about 2.5-3 years, I just get so emotionally burnt out.
Yeah.
And I want to quit and find a new job. And I'm kind of thinking about that now.
But it's for different reasons, though. And I followed your career path, you know, for so long. And I know what you're talking about. Like, you know, it's the pottery incident all over again, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And I don't feel that this is the same as it normally is, just to let you know.
Yeah, but it's logic mm-hmm. versus emotion. And I think I'm approaching my career emotionally and not logically. And I need to approach it logically. So if you're...
You need both, though. You need both. Not just, there has to be some emotion. You cannot.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I know. I think if somebody is leaving, one of the best pieces of advice is really to exercise that muscle.
Yes.
And to realize, like I just did, that your past upbringing is going to affect how you operate.
Everything about you is the culmination of from the second you're born to now.
Right.
And for positive and negative, like, and the worst part about it is your positive aspects in your past can cause negative impacts later.
Right.
So it doesn't have to be all bad that caused where you're at and why you're making decisions now. It can be all the good stuff that occurred too. And that's the stuff that I feel gets used against you in these high control groups, is not just, oh, your father beat you or was an alcoholic and stuff like that. But like people that are spiritually open and, you know, good, honest, loving people, they even use that against you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no formula here. And I think that's the hardest part about this podcast for me, is because I'm IT. I want a solution. I want at the end of it to say, this is how we fix the issue. And there isn't one. It's just continuous work.
Continuous work, right? Exercising that muscle of independent thought and research and clarity.
Self-analysis. Where you're at. You know, do postmortems of what occurred, even in small things. Like, okay, I did this. Let me examine why I did this. After the fact, you're done with the emotion. I think you could spend more time on the logic with things that have occurred. You know, that's that whole hindsight being 20/20, mm-hmm. right?
And then next time I'm going to try and do better yep. and be prepared for it. And that's another CIA thing they do at the farm is they put you in that simulated yes. environment
yes.
so you can test how you would respond. And we've seen movies about that.
It might be a little overblown or underblown. Who knows?
Who knows?
But that, you know, does exist to a degree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you go through that whatever simulation that they're building so that you build a toughness. And mm-hmm. I thought about that farm training and I thought, how interesting it would be if you've left a cult and you could do that for yourself mentally. And that goes back to the earlier podcast of the little tests.
Mm-hmm.
These things that you can do to kind of build up your immunity or build up your independent thinking.
You're thinking about Inception now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's the same, right? It's the same. They go through the training so that when there is a circumstance where someone's trying to infiltrate your memories, you know, it's the same thing. They put in the work ahead of time and did the training so that it, when it does occur, they can at least deal with it at some level.
Yeah, so you could do that.
Same thing.
You could do that as you're leaving a cult
mm-hmm.
by working your independent thinking through little training exercises. Research how they do it at the CIA. Research how other people have left.
Yeah.
And then try those things too.
I do have a question for you too. So one of the videos or many of the videos that we've watched is about the groups of people that try to deprogram while people are active in cults.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so I'm assuming from your tone that you don't think that works that well.
I don't believe in it. Mm. I think it's dangerous, and I don't think it's good. I think you're taking away someone's will again.
Yeah, you're just doing the opposite of, mm-hmm. yeah, exactly.
And if like my mother chooses to be in a cult,
mm-hmm.
she's a grown woman, there are consequences, and she's living those consequences. Yep. I would never try and get her out.
Understood.
I will speak my truth. I will never not speak my truth,
mm-hmm.
but I would never try and get her out.
Right. Unless she was acting like she was going, like she had interest in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's a completely different set of rules, but I would never kidnap her and try and get her deprogrammed.
Well, I'm just, okay. So,
but having said that,
yeah,
if you have a young kid who's like 18, 19, who...
Or younger.
Yeah, joins a cult. And I mean, it's a tricky situation.
It is. And that's your situation. It's not true for everybody, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a decision that someone else is going to have to make on their own. But
I don't think that's a thing anymore, though. I don't think they do that anymore.
Don't know.
Yeah.
That's the reason why I was asking is, you know, because we know that there's kind of an awakening that occurs with the leaving of a cult. You know, like there's some truth or something that occurs that just kind of joggles you, and then you start questioning everything, you know? And I'm almost wondering if the things that have happened in CIA training, if there's anything in there that can kind of help people push outside of their emotional basis that they're on. Like could that even, without a direct, like, you know, approach to it, it gets you thinking in the moment logically, you know, because you're in that fight or flight. Because that's what, from my understanding, that's what the CIA does, is they put you into a constant fight or flight emotion versus reptile versus logical brain, to the point that everything's overwhelmed and you have to sort it out quickly, and you can't go by snap judgments.
Right.
In the moment, under high stress.
Right.
It's basically going, you've never ran a mile in your life, and now I'm going to make you run 10 miles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the end of it, you're either going to survive or you're not.
Yeah.
And if you do survive.
And then at the end, you need to answer these math questions.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just talking about using it as a muscle, you know, but yeah, it's the same kind of idea.
I think it would be, I've never made this correlation. I've done a lot of cult mm-hmm. research and read a lot about cults, and I kind of know a lot. That's my area of expertise.
Right.
If I had one. But I never really put the CIA stuff in that framework until the last like 3 months. This is all brand new for me.
Yeah.
And so I want to read a book about the farm training. I want to understand it, because understanding that will help me understand the cult
right.
and conditioning, really conditioning.
Right.
And how human brains are conditioned, how humans are manipulated, because cults are based off of manipulation, conditioning, and control.
So the other thing too that I would recommend you look at is the other military training as well, right? Because where the CIA is trying to, you know, understand how emotion and logic dictate actions, so that you could understand, you know,
how to develop an asset, really.
Yeah,
I mean, they want to do it so that another person will divulge their country's secrets.
Exactly. But you think about it, like the military, you know, if you're in the armed forces, and especially ones that are like direct line of combat, they break down that, you know, logic and emotion walls as well, so that you're okay shooting and killing someone,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, and however you feel about it, you know, that's their job and that's what they have to do. But there is the training that they undergo is specifically tailored to break down your set of morals and rebuild them to the set of morals that the military wants you to have.
Right.
And so that process is, to me, the same as any cult, high control group, marketing.
Yep.
You know, Elon Musk fanboys, it's the same thing. It's that marketing that has given you an emotional response where you can't look at the logic behind what is actually occurring in front
right.
of you.
Right. Yeah. And I have looked at that before,
mm-hmm.
but not in any detail, because I know it's very similar to the process of indoctrination into a cult.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all very, the government, I mean, a batshit country, right? Batshit country is right there.
Like, yeah, it's right there.
They did that.
Look at MK Ultra.
Oh, yeah.
The program.
Yeah.
I mean,
unclassified, they did that.
Yeah.
They were researching how to control of anybody. And the Americans are probably not the leaders in that kind of conditioning. Mm. I think like the French are probably much better at their conditioning training.
Interesting.
So there are other governments that are even better than the American government at conditioning. But if you understand conditioning, then you can understand what happened to yourself.
Exactly.
And you can try and break that and become an independent thinker.
And also gives you the tools too, so that if you know how each of these groups are doing it, then you can have a better chance. I don't want to say you will be able to stop, because again, it's nothing is 100%, but at least you might be able to go, oh my God, that's a control tactic that
yeah,
I've seen that before.
And the way that he described it is he called it self-agency.
Yeah, that's
when a good someone one. Has self-agency, they are harder to manipulate and mm-hmm. control. And he said it still can be done. I mean, the CIA knows how to do that, but they are
more
much
work.
Harder.
Yeah. And the other thing is something to look at too is how hypnotists, because the mentalists, they go, it's not everybody that can do it.
Right.
It was specific people. And they can ask them a few questions and they know, I can manipulate this person more than someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something else that's interesting too, because all to me, it's this is all part of the same big bubble.
Right.
You know, that there's no difference between any of these. It's the outcome, right? That's the difference between all of this.
Yeah. So being independent thinker, self-agency, mm-hmm. it's going to be harder for someone to, and you don't want to end up being manipulated again. You've already lived through that. You don't want to live through it a second time. There's no reason to live through it a second time to learn your right. lesson. Learn it the first time, become independent, have self-agency, and no one else can manipulate you and control you.
You hope. And just keep yep. fighting that. Yep. Keep fighting that fight.
Yep.
So, I like it.
All right. That's the end of our podcast. If anyone's listening, thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening too. Appreciate it. And hopefully we'll see you next week.